Blog Talk Radio.
Monet, your left foot.
Of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine warner, comforter, leader, teacher, and guide in our midst, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you in our nation greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Alaykum salam, man.
Thank you, family. And it is also my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to present to you a brother like no other. If you ever want to see a living example of a true FOI, a true friend, a true brother, and a real man, this is the man you need to see. My dear brother, all the way from St. Louis, Missouri, Brother Kareem Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen Aziza. And I'm going to go find that brother you was talking about because he sounded like he all right.
Just look in the mirror, brother. Just look in the mirror.
All praises are indeed due to Allah. And as always, we open in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the worlds, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. And in the name of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, the exalted Christ, and in the name of our divine reminder, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I also want to greet all of the panelists, the listening audience, and again, especially you, Queen Aziza, with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Yes. All right. So anyone that knows me knows that we waste no time here. This is not a game. This is very serious, but although we do have fun here, you know, and a lot of people do not really understand what fun is. But if you look at fun, and I'm not talking about the definition that Webster gives of fun, but if you look at those three letters, F-U-N, fun can either be a foolish use of your nature or it can be the full use of your nature. And we're here today to fully use our natures in the correct manner. So our topic tonight is to live for real. However, before we get deep into the topic, I want the panelists to introduce themselves, present themselves. I'm going to start with you, Sister Yatira.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. All praises are due forever. My name is Sister Yatira. I'm host right now for Young Gifted and Black on Saturday nights. I don't know anything specific. I love my nation. I'm here to provide whatever information that I can give, a little bit of information that I have, and whatever Allah puts on my heart. You know, I love to be a servant to others.
All praises be to Allah. Thank you, Sister Yatira.
Yes, sir.
And Sister Diatoma and son, are you there?
We are here. Assalamu alaikum salam, Brother Kareem. All praises due to Allah. And actually, there's a brother waiting for you on the line. He just got in my box. But I am blessed. It is good to hear from you and love you much, Sister Queen Aziza. Assalamu alaikum.
Love you too. Love you too, Sister.
You want me to tell about myself? Or you just
yes,
want me
yeah.
to just.
Oh,
well.
Tell it.
Yes, sir. Well, Sister Diatoma Clarity, also known, registered for the last 8 years in the nation as Sister Jamie X, down here holding it down in the South, down in Memphis, Tennessee, doing what we do best. Here with my son, my beloved son, Esan. I'm going to let him introduce himself in a minute. Just trying to fake it till I make it. No, just seriously, just doing our lives work. We recently just reopened the bookstore down here, so that's up and running. We're doing, by the will and grace of Allah, we got the machines coming in, so we'll be doing the T-shirt, the mugs, the hats, the pads, the phone pads, everything. So you need any personalized MVP, FOI, whatever, personalized things. Of course, you know, I do the graphics arts and everything. So that's me in a nutshell, and I'll let my son introduce himself one moment.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I really know what to say. My name is Esau Hansbro. What? I don't have my Muslim name yet, you know. No, but still, I'm 14 years old. Play a little bit of piano here and there. You know, I play Beethoven. You know, some other songs, classicals, songs off of shows. I do it all by ear. I've been playing since I was four. I will demonstrate it, but I can't right now. But I guess it's just me and my mom. She's trying to make it. She's doing her best as she can as a mother, black mother. Even though there is not no man,
her family.
You know, there's, like I said, even though there is not a male around, she is doing her best and she's proving herself worthy. That she is worthy to her lot, and I thank God for the mother I have, for seeing how strong she is. And if it wasn't for her, I would not be in the position that I am in right now, or have the knowledge that I have right now as a young 14-year-old. Because most 14-year-olds you look at nowadays, you know, it's either after selling some dope or something, you know, doing this and doing that, and that's just not me. But, you know, mama, I know. I already did. Repeat, mama. I got. Excuse me, y'all. Excuse me, y'all. She's trying to tell me what to say. Excuse me. Anyway, yeah, I go to Manassas, you know, high school and everything. It's a pretty nice school. I really want to go to Muhammad University, though. But there's not really much I could tell about me, you know. But I just try to do whatever I can, you know. Try to make it with my mama in this world. I try my best to help her out. You know, there's nothing I can really say. You know, all I can do is just stand by her side. All right. Thank you, Hans. I'm like,
well, listen, salam. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. And my brother, you said your name is, did you say Issa or Issa?
His name is Esan.
Esan.
Okay. I just had to be sure. And
yes, sir.
I want him to understand, though, when he says he doesn't have his Muslim name yet, understand that name simply means nature. And so if he's walking the path of one who's striving to live his life in service to Allah, then, oh, he's got his nature. Okay? Now, he just it may not be labeled yet, but he got his nature, so don't get it twisted. Okay?
Now, yes,
there's a lot of folks running around here with a name plastered on them, and I would call them something else by their behavior, but that ain't our show tonight. Okay?
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Now, you said it was now the brother that other brother was waiting on, is this area code 561?
Yes, sir, he's here. He just sent me a message and said he's on the line.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I see him. I got his mic live. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum salam. The name of Allah is the next most merciful. I confess there is no God but Allah. Muhammad is his messenger and the most honorable. Lusara Khan is our leader, teacher, and our guide. Brother Robert Tenex from sunny South Florida. Tell you a little bit about myself. I run my own business. I run a security company. I was blessed by Allah to have the security company, also to have one of the largest security companies in the area where I live at. Single father, I've raised two daughters by myself with the grace of Allah. I guess that's really about it. I'm your brother and I'm your servant.
Walaikum salam. All praise is due to Allah. We're glad to have you with us, brother. All right.
Thank you, sir.
And of course, Queen Aziza, please introduce
yourself. Oh, wow, please. I am the engineer tonight. I am Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad. I am the Program and Protocol Director for Nation Building Movement. I am a mother of three, a grandmother of one. I am a lifetime member of the Nation of Islam, and I love my black people. And that's all I have to say. But thank you, Brother Kareem, for that unexpected request. Thank you.
All praise to Allah. Thank you. Thank you. And I want to thank everyone ahead of time. But the idea was, and the reason I wanted everyone to introduce themselves is so that the listening, we couldn't get to know one another a little bit, those of us who don't know one another. Also, to let the listening audience know the varied range of individuals that we have here tonight. So this is not some closed thing. You know, you got people from all walks of life, and particularly our youth. All right. Again, our subject tonight is how to eat to live for real. All right. And so, as always, I want to lay some foundation for our subject. And the first place I'm going to read from is from the Bible, the book of Genesis. And it's chapter 1, verse 29, and it reads, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree, yielding seed, to you it shall be for me." We're going to come back to that in our discussion. And secondly, we want to go to the Holy Quran Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We seek refuge in Allah against the accursed Shaitan or Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. And the section that we are in is Surah or Chapter 5, entitled The Food. And we are at verse or Ayat 5. And herein Allah states, "This day all good things are made lawful for you, and the food of those who have been given the book is lawful for you, and your food is lawful for them." Surely Allah speaks the truth. And the people of the book in this instance are those who were given the Bible before the Quran was indeed revealed in the current form that we have it. All right. Our topic is how to eat to live for real. And just a little bit on that, what am I talking about? What do we mean, how to eat to live for real? I mean, we got two books, How to Eat to Live 1, How to Eat to Live 2. And what I qualified it and put for real on the end, because oftentimes we talk about how to eat to live. We will mention the books. Anyone who knows anything about Muslims, particularly in the Nation of Islam, they know about the bean pie. Oh, yeah, they know about the bean pie. They may have heard of beans. We eat a lot of beans and things of that nature. But the thing is that they really, really have no understanding of why we do what we do. Also, many of them are not attracted to it because they don't understand the benefits that they can receive from this. So that's why I say for real. In other words, we want to make it real for them. We want to keep it how they say today, if they still saying it. I know phrases change from year to year. I mean, are they still saying keep it 100? You know, I don't know. Is that still a phrase today? Somebody help me out. Is that still good?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is the 100. Keep it 100.
Okay.
But it's not 100. It's keep it 100.
100.
100.
Oh, 100. Oh, I got it. Okay. So we got to keep it 100, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Did I get it right?
Yeah, 100. Yeah. You got to add Ebonics in there.
Right.
Oh, yes. Hey, sounds good. All praises to Allah. Okay, and so, again, I want to, since we are, our subject is how to eat to live. I want to share this, and then we're going to get right into our discussion. And this comes from book number one, How to Eat to Live, page 51. Food can be life or death. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, we can shorten and destroy our lives by the way we prepare and cook the food we eat. Allah, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, taught me that all of our foods, not including fruits, should be cooked, and cooked until thoroughly done. And it should be seasoned with salt where necessary. The food we eat should not be poisonous food, such as the flesh of swine and of wild animals, birds and beasts. We should not eat fish that weighs more than 50 pounds, water scavengers in the form of fish of the fish family, and other water animals of their kind. As we know, there is much animal life taken as food from the water today that we should not eat. The believers of Islam should be aware and not eat such foods. In cooking your food, be sure that you cook it thoroughly, but not to the point where it loses its taste. Safeguard your delicate stomach that has to digest all that you eat by not overburdening it with trying to digest half-cooked food or raw food and the acid gases from such foods. This is what hastens the doctor to your bedside, and after that, the undertaker, and after that, the grave digger. Remember, we kill ourselves by what we eat and how we eat it. Just as food is our source of life, it is also our source of death. As God has taught me, food keeps us here and it takes us away. For long life, take long intervals between your meals and do not eat over one meal a day. All praise is due to Allah. Now, as I said, the idea here now, and I believe we dropped the call. Hopefully, brother will call back. I'll be looking for him. As I said, our topic is
Brother Kareem, he just sent me a message, news flash, a 31-year-old woman just got shot in front of one of his properties. He had to run. So
yes.
We're going to send out prayers to the family that the sister is okay.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It says that the prayers of the righteous avail much. All praise is due to Allah. So, yeah, we pray that Allah, everything works out well. And we pray that Allah's will is done. And so we will continue. Now, how to eat to live for real. The first, and what we're going to do is actually tonight, we're going to actually look at what I have found based on statistics to be the four highest ailments, the four things that we as a people in particular suffer from the most. And then we're going to relate to how to eat to live can affect positive changes, all right, to bring about better health in those areas. And the first one we're going to deal with is called, according to the medical terminology, they call it diabetes mellitus. And it's described as, now this is their definition, and we're going to get down to some real talk after we read their definition. Their definition is a variable disorder of carbohydrate metabolism caused by a combination of hereditary and environmental factors, usually characterized by an inadequate secretion or utilization of insulin, by excessive urine production, by excessive amount of sugar in the blood and urine, by thirst, hunger, and loss of weight. It comes from the Latin, and in the Latin, the meaning of the word diabetes is honey sweet. Now, we just heard all of that, and the bottom line is the average individual, because I know I had to, there were some words I even had to look up to be clear about. But to the average individual, I don't know. I know when I was little, they didn't even use the term diabetes. Now, nowadays, I think they also call it hypoglycemia. But the old folks that I knew, when they talked about it, they simply said, you got sugar. That's what they would say. Oh, you got sugar. And that's the bottom line. That is what causes diabetes, an overconsumption of sugar, where we overload the system to the point where, yes, the system can't produce enough insulin to digest what they call sugar. And we want to be clear on that, that what sugar is, as they define it, it's a drug. It has no nutritional value. And literally what it does is when you consume this, what they call sugar, and what I'm talking about is processed, white, refined sugar, quote unquote, because our bodies have to run on glucose. Anything with OSE at the end is a sugar, quote unquote. But what they call sugar is a drug. It has, like I say, no nutritional value. And literally what it does is, among other things, when we consume it, when it gets into the bloodstream, it literally causes cells to explode. But now, what I want to do is I'm going to start with you, Sister Diatoma. What do you know, or do you know anybody, for example, do you have anybody in your family that suffers from this ailment, diabetes?
Unfortunately, plenty of us and many of my family members do suffer from sugar diabetes.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, what are some of the things that they go through, you know what I'm saying? I mean, as far as how it affects them negatively and what they have to do, quote, unquote, to treat it?
Well, this world's way of treating it and this world's way of handling it consists of insulin shots to help you get your body back into homeostasis, but really it's not getting your body back into homeostasis. It's just helping your liver for a particular minute, a particular moment to either reduce your sugar or to increase your sugar, depending on if you hypoglycemic or hypoglycemic or hyperglycemic, depending on the effects of what sugar is doing for you. But they have to take shots or they have to take pills. They bloat after a while. It start affecting your kidneys. It started affecting your blood pressure. It start affecting your eyesight with glaucoma. It start affecting your hypothalamus. It starts affecting many parts of your body because when you're trying to heal one part of your body by using the poison that they give us to treat that, other things start going down and in disarray, unfortunately. So I've seen my grandmother or my dad's side, first she lost her feet, and then from losing her feet, she lost both her legs. And while she was, in a nursing home, they dropped her, trying to give her a bath. They dropped her. And then shortly after that, I lost my grandmother, all stemming from diabetes. So it's a very harmful disease, which not only just attack your liver, it attacks the oxygen that is produced into your body function. That's the reason why they had to cut her legs off, because she started to get gangrene. And gangrene happens from loss of oxygenated blood circulating, proper circulation to those particular parts into her body. And so they had to remove them. But it's a killer. It's the biggest killer of black people here in America, the biggest, all from, either low sugar or high sugar.
Yes, ma'am. All praises be to Allah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yes, sir.
And Sister Yatira.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. All praises be to Allah. And basically the same question to you. I mean, do you have, you know, and that's if you want to share this information, do you have anyone in your family that suffers from this particular ailment? What are some of the things that they've gone through and, you know, the type of treatments?
Yes, sir. Well, the only person that I do know of is my great-grandmother who did suffer from diabetes. And I was younger when I was younger when she was around. So I just remember seeing her, you know, in her wheelchair and started off, you know, just what Sister was saying with the gangrene. They had to amputate some of her toes, and then it turned into her foot, then it turned into her leg, and then it turned into her other leg. And, you know, eventually she passed. But as far as treatments and things of that nature, I'm not, you know, I wasn't too sure. I didn't really know what was going on. I just was wondering why it's when I see my grandmother a little bit more was missing from her. But that's about all I really have as far as family members and, you know, diabetes.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I understand. And thank you. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you for sharing that with us, what you did share with us. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, ma'am. Same question to you. You know, I mean, like I said, again, we're laying some ground here.
Well, I could tell you that I had an aunt who actually lost her vision, and I remember when I first heard of diabetes, I was quite young, and I remember her surgery. And to this day, I really don't fully know what it meant at the time, but they said that she had so much sugar that they measured it by cases, and I don't know how much sugar that entails. But they said she had 3 cases of sugar in her body, and I don't even know today what that means. And of course, the glaucoma set in, which ended up, you know, causing a loss of vision. She never lost any limbs, but it's a very debilitating disease. You know, I know the signs and symptoms. I have many friends even now that suffer from diabetes. You know, they say it's a constant thirst, like you can't ever quench the thirst, no matter how much water you drink. Frequent trips to the bathroom with urination, very thick urine. Things of that nature, and diabetes affects different people in different ways, and a lot of it stems from, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't eat sweets, you know, I don't eat a lot of sweets, but, you know, starches like potatoes and rice and things of that nature, those things that turn into sugar. People who drink a lot of soda, people who drink a lot of sugar, powdered drinks. That is a high accumulation of sugar, and that fructose is very dangerous because it's almost like taking an overdose of cocaine when it gets to your organs and your system, especially if you don't have a good balance of water. Fructose is a very, very dangerous sugar. I can't even name everything. I put it like this, almost everything you buy, mayonnaise, mustard, ketchup, jelly, anything that contains corn syrup. Corn syrup is one of the worst things that they ever made. It absorbs the water out of your body. That water robs your body's ability to flush the toxins from the sugar. And the sugar cripples the pancreas to and creates diabetes. And that's what I know. That's why, Brother Queen.
Yes, ma'am. All praise be to Allah. And thank you, Queen Aziza. Again, thank everyone for their experience and what they shared. And I myself, too, know that they've told me, because I've been warned, that, okay, quote unquote, my family is hereditarily disposed to diabetes, to sugar, as it's called, like I said, the old folks called it. As a matter of fact, at one point in time in my life, they had diagnosed me and told me that I was what they call borderline diabetic, meaning that I wasn't a diabetic, but I could go over at any time. And that was literally my own fault because I was not practicing how to eat to live as I had been raised to. My great uncle and many of my cousins and other individuals in my family passed from diabetes. So, I mean, I can relate to that. The thing, though, that we have to understand is as Queen Aziza just told us, see, a lot of people will say, well, I don't eat a lot of sweets. I don't eat candy. However, you have to understand that when we talk about, again, when we talk about sugar, anything with O-S-E on the end, glucose, sucrose, fructose, is considered a sugar. And we're going to get into later as we talk about those little demons called GMOs, and we're not there yet, we're going to talk about some more about sugar. But the thing is, we do have to understand that in this society in which we live, where everything just about that people consume is packaged and processed or processed in some way, part of that processing involves using sugar. In book number one of How to Eat to Live, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, on page 10, he states this. He says, we must prepare and grow our own food, because this is a highly commercialized world. They graft a lot of food, and some of this food is not good for our stomachs. So speaks the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And remember now, he used the term graft. And if, when we remember what our definition of graft is, graft means, or devil, quote unquote, means any germ grafted from original, or any live grafted germ. Okay, germ meaning something that's alive. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad also states, pastries and cakes, the kind made with crust of white flour and sweetened with white sugar, so sweet you can still taste them the next day, are not good for our stomachs. All this hastens you to the graveyard sooner than you would like to go. We should eat fruit and fruit pies. I love that little black blueberry pie, huckleberry, as we call it in the South, but do not make it with white sugar or crust of white flour. Use brown sugar and whole wheat flour for your pie and cobbler crust. And so I'm going to leave that where it is. And so with this, what we call diabetes now, and as you said, that's what we have to look at. As far as this society is concerned, they give the individuals insulin shots. And the majority of these insulin shots, from what I understand, now they have come up, quote unquote, with what they say is something synthetic. But originally, and from what I understand, the majority of the insulin shots are derived from pig, from the swine. So that means that you're taking in a forbidden substance, because we as Muslims know, we are taught we do not eat the swine or any of its byproducts. So that being the case, if we, and number one, if I'm a Muslim and I'm suffering from diabetes, something is wrong. However, we're not just talking about Muslims. We're talking about people in general. And what we want the people to know is that you do not have to resort to these artificial and chemicalized solutions to the problem. If your body is unable to produce the correct amount of insulin to handle the sugar that you're taking in, that means you got two things basically you need to do. First of all, stop the intake of the sugar. Stop the intake of all the starchy food. If you read the labels on everything, not just most, but everything that comes off the shelf, it contains some type of sugar. As a matter of fact, the next time you go to the store, and hopefully when you do go, you won't be purchasing this, but just go and look and read it at the store. Pick up a Morton salt, which is one of the most popular salt I've seen throughout the country. Pick up one of those little round containers of Morton salt and read the back of it. It'll tell you that there's salt, but it'll also tell you one of the ingredients in the salt is dextrose. Yes, they're even putting sugar in the salt. And we'll get into why they're doing that a little bit later. But what we want to do is share with you some other things you can do besides going to get insulin to help alleviate yourself of the symptoms of diabetes and even put it into a rest. Now, as we have just been instructing you, avoid sweets and sweet, it says sweet fruits. But you can eat sweet fruits after a certain period of time. Avoid such carbohydrates as white potatoes, sweet potatoes, and rice. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad tells us in How to Eat to Live that the sweet potato or the Irish potato is not for us. He told us it was very starchy. He told us we don't eat sweet potatoes because they're grafted, and that's all he said, and that's good enough for me. But the thing is, again, even for those who are not, quote-unquote, Muslims, what you can do, here's a formula which will help you with your diabetes, okay? What you want to do is get you some cumin. It's an herb. You can buy it in any grocery store. Preferably, you'll get it at, quote-unquote, a health food store, say a Whole Foods or a Trader Joe's. It's going to be a better quality. Get you some cumin seed, okay, and cook with the cumin seed. Cook it. Put it in your food. Also, use cinnamon. These things will help to increase the production of insulin in your system and also help to remove the excess sugar. That's just one of many things that you can do. Also, in referring to diabetes, some of the other herbs you want to use are licorice root. Licorice root, you can either make a tea of it or you can get it in capsules. And make sure that it says that they're pure veggie caps. You get the licorice root, peppermint, another herb called fenugreek. You cook with that. Cook it into your food. Also using ginseng. But with the licorice root, what it does is if you take it once or twice a day, what it will do is actually balance the level of sugar in your bloodstream. It'll bring it into balance where your body can actually handle it. All right, and I'm going to leave diabetes where it is, and we're going to move on to the next one, which is considered the second highest ailment or the second worst ailment among us as a people. They call it hypertension or high blood pressure, and it's described as abnormally high blood pressure, particularly arterial. And what we mean by that is that blood pressure is really simply how the blood presses against the vessels, veins, and arteries in your body as it passes through the body. And if the pressure is too great, then these vessels swell, and it causes undue pressure on nerves and the organs of the body, literally causing the body to burn itself out, causing headaches, things of that nature. And I want to start with you, Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. All praises due to Allah. High blood pressure. I mean, what do you know about this particular ailment?
I know I haven't taken my blood pressure medicine in a couple of days.
Okay. You got some experience with this. Well, tell us about that, if you don't mind.
I forgot all of the medical stuff, but it's like your blood pressure is when, you know, your heart is working too fast or something, or too hard or something like that, and your blood is pumping too fast through your arteries or something, whatever. But I can tell you that high blood pressure can lead to many, many ailments. It can lead to kidney failure. It can lead to stroke. It can certainly lead to heart attack. Unfortunately, diet has a big part to play in it. A lot of times stress, if you work in a high, you know, a highly stressful situation, a lot of times pain, that I learned that pain also increases your blood pressure because your body is not at ease, and pain can be very irritating, and it can also run up your blood pressure. The consumption of alcohol, nicotine, and other drugs, of course, can run up your blood pressure. The blood pressure really determines how everything in your body flows, the beat of your heart, the flow of your blood, the way your urinary and respiratory system actually works. And so, you know, I'm a little heavy, you know. So, you know, in the last maybe 10 years, I've had to take blood pressure medicine. And the reason why I ended up on blood pressure medicine is because I have a long-term respiratory condition that started when I was 3 and got worse when I got in my 30s. And in turn, I was given a steroid, and that steroid made me gain a whole bunch of weight. I mean, a whole bunch of weight. I got up to 420 pounds, and I had to, after 3 years, after going from 165 to 420 in 3 years, I took myself off of it. And I'm not going to tell you how much I weigh, but I don't weigh nowhere near that. I'm under 200. And yeah, I'm way under 200 pounds, but the side effects of the steroid, it just deregulated my system, so to speak. So I have to take high blood pressure medicine. You know, high blood pressure has a lot of effects depending on the individual, but it is always something that you have to monitor very closely, because the last thing you want is a CVA, which we call a stroke. And a stroke is a cerebral vascular, I think it's cerebral vascular accident. But what it is when a blood vessel bursts in your brain. And depending on where that happens, it can leave you incapacitated. You could be blind, you could be crippled, you could be a vegetable. It's very, very important to always check your blood pressure. It can mean the difference between life and death. It could mean the difference between whether you're walking around today or whether you're laying flat on your back in a coma. Some people have had strokes to where they're just totally incapacitated. They can't do anything for themselves. They've lost all their faculties, and someone has to take care of them for the rest of their lives. And I'm talking about young people, you know, my age, younger. Are in this condition all because our diet a lot of times affects our blood pressure. You know, too much salt, too much greasy food, too many sweets. Eating processed foods will lead to a condition that will cause you to have high blood pressure. As a matter of fact, we learned a couple of years ago that there are companies out there that offer a product and then they offer diet food. Well, come to find out, the diet food is not diet food at all. They don't take out all of the fattening that they're supposed to take out and say, okay, this is diet food. What they do is that they add a little more water to the product in packaging to make it appear as though less flavor is in there. So you say, oh, well, I don't have any seasoning. I don't taste any seasoning, so I'm eating diet food. No, they prepare it the same way. All they add is water. And so processed foods are, for black people in particular, are one of the leading causes of our dietary condition that leads to high blood pressure, eating fried chicken, eating hamburgers, eating from places that you don't even know what you're eating, especially processed foods. They have patties that they say are beef patties, and they're really pork patties, you know, and it's just crazy. So that's all I have to say. I don't want to you know, yes, monopolize
ma'am.
The conversation. But, yeah, high blood pressure is no joke.
Yes, ma'am. All praise to Allah. Thank you for sharing yourself with us. And Sister Yatira.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. All praise due to Allah. Now, I'm going to kind of go a little bit different because I'm going to ask you, you know, as a young woman, as a, you know, when you hear what, you know, like the information that's been shared about diabetes and about high blood pressure and things of that nature, you hear what's been shared here already. And we're going to get into some things that will help to alleviate that condition of high blood pressure besides the quote-unquote medications that they offer. Now, in a minute, but the question to you is that when you hear this information, how does it make, what does it make you think? You know, what will you start turning in your mind?
Well, I took a CNA class a couple of years ago. So I just wanted, Sister Queen, I think what you were talking about was the systolic and diastolic, the for your heart rate, you know, when your blood pressure is high, the systolic and the diastolic number, I can't remember, one is high, one is, you know, too high and too low or things of that nature. But when I hear it, you know,
the diastolic is the diastolic is the high number.
And the systolic is the low number.
I think it's the systolic is the low number. Like it's 120 over 80 is
right,
the normal
right.
blood pressure. So anything over 120 on the, is that the note? That's the systolic. Anything over 120 is too high, and on the diastolic, anything over 80 is too high.
Right, and it goes both ways because 80 can, if you're too low under 80, that's, you know, your blood pressure is low. Right, that's absolutely, got you. Yes, ma'am. But hearing about it, you know, my mentality has always been I would never get those things. So I know I had to be cautious of you know, foods and things of that nature, but I hear and I do take caution sometimes because my eating habit, I mean, it has gotten a lot better since I've been in the nation, but I used to just eat whatever I want, whenever I want, how much I want, because I didn't gain weight. So my mentality was, I mean, if I'm not gaining any weight, then obviously my body's handling everything the right way, but I used to get severe migraines, and I feel like maybe that has something to do. My blood pressure could have been high, and we didn't go to the doctors regularly. But you know, our health has always been pretty good. But things like that could have been going on. But because my mentality has always been, you know, I will never suffer from diabetes. I will never suffer from high blood pressure and things of that nature. It didn't get too severe where I had to go get checked out or anything of that nature. So, you know, maybe the symptoms were there. With the fatigue, like I said, headaches, shortness of breath, and things of that nature could have been there, but it didn't get any further than that because of the mentality that I believe that I've always had with those type of illnesses. But hearing the information, it helps, you know, to know that, you know, it is possible, of course, and to, even though I'm not seeing a big effect on my body, I still want to do the right things by my body to help it, make sure those things don't happen, or, you know, just put it in the best health, you know, because I don't want to continue to put too much pressure and, you know, give too much issues to my heart and to my body when I could just be eating the right things at the right time to eliminate all those problems.
Yes, ma'am. All praise be to Allah. Thank you.
Yes,
and Sister Diatoma.
Yes, sir.
All praise due to Allah. Where is that young fruit at?
He's sitting over here.
I want to come front and center.
Hold on.
And I mean, he's been listening, and I want to, again, same question to you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum.
Thanks, Allah.
Yes, sir. All right, so when you hear all this information that we've been sharing, I mean, what does it put you in mind? I mean, what like I said, what wheels are turning in your mind when you hear this about what causes diabetes and what it can do to you? What causes high blood pressure, what it can do to you? And then the things that they give us to treat this and then the side effects of that. What do you think about this?
Well, one thing –
What doesn't cause is a disease nowadays. Everything. Yeah, you see how, look, the reality of it is they're trying to get rid of us.
You better teach. Okay.
Right. I'm just keep it 100. Like, look what they put in the drinks, the foods, all, you know, Mr. Falcon even told us about this. They put the slime in the foods, you know, that we eat, and it's deceiving our taste buds because we're looking at how it affects our taste buds, not how it affects our body, you know. And then you're wondering why you're getting all these types of tumors in your stomach, this and that. Then you go to the doctor and you're not diagnosed with diabetes, and you're wondering why. Well, I went on the one-day diet. No. You got to stop eating these type of foods. That's why the message brought us how to eat to live. You know, we can avoid all this stuff. Go on what Allah has told us to eat instead of what the devil has told us to eat. And these medicines they so-called say to help us out, you know, I don't know too much about that, but, you know, all I can say is this, that they're not helping out. You know, temporary. You see my mom said, you know, lose their arms and you lose your legs and this and that. So you saying there's not a natural cure. Well, look at the minister. He don't got diabetes, but just take him for example. He has prostate cancer. Well, had. What do you mean? I thought he still had.
He had
prostate cancer. So you say now we're in bed talking about some, oh, I can't be healed, you know, and this and that. But look at the minister, he's standing up strong, you know, even though his body has completely been destroyed, he's still standing up strong, and Allah has blessed his body, you know, and blessed him. He can do the same for you if you'll just submit and listen, you know, read that book, How to Eat to Live. But you're like, nah, I can't do that. Them fools nasty. My cousin, them usually always tease me about, yeah, you be eating on that bean pie and this and that, you know. But that bean pie, at least that bean pie won't give you diabetes. I'm just saying. Well, if you constantly, or bean soup like that, bean soup, that's what I meant. But, you know, like I said, is what don't cause disease nowadays. It's evident. Everything, except for bean soup. Yeah, everything causes diseases nowadays. It's just a shame because you can't even walk inside of a restaurant, you know, and then you can't even eat safe. You got to worry about this and that, you know, this happening to your body after you eat this. But people don't care nowadays. They, you know, taste buds. And I got to speak for myself, too. and I got to straighten up myself, too, you know. But it tastes good, you know, but they eventually learn one day, and so why? We all need to learn something. Oh, I just pray that I am not of those ones who get diabetes. I just pray, or none of my family, you know, I just pray, and I hope that they at least, you know, read one page of How to Eat to Live, or listen to Master Farrakhan or something. He's telling us, Ms. Farrakhan is telling us what's in these foods. I seen this, you know, commercial one day. Well, not commercial. It was on the news or something. A while ago on the laptop. And Mr. Farrakhan, in one of his speeches, he told us about McDonald's and how they put the slime in the food. After he did that, they went back talking about some, yeah, Satan is behind that corner. You know, they start making fun of him. But you know what I noticed they never did? They never call him a lie. Because they know what he said was true about how they put in the food. They know what he was saying is true. They know what he was saying was true. So really right now all they can do is make fun of Mr. Farrakhan. As the people we go follow right behind and make fun of Mr. Farrakhan too. You know. But what he's saying is true about this food. You know, we need to follow How to Eat to Live, or we don't have to worry about this disease, that disease, oh, I'm gonna get this, I'm gonna get that. Yeah, so that's all I can really say on this one. You know, just read How to Eat to Live. That's all I really got to say. That's all I tell them. I'm not going to force anybody to read How to Eat to Live. I'm going to give them a suggestion. You know, I need to get into it myself. Because, well, unfortunately, right now, you don't have the right ingredients. So, all right. So, I thank y'all for giving me this time. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, you're not done yet. All right. Okay. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. You know, and we know that this is also audience participation. It is an audience-driven show. So do we have any questions either on the phone or in the chat room?
We have one question from Sister Cheryl, and she said, what is the difference between fructose, lactose, and glucose?
Thank you so much. I'm so glad you asked that question. Okay, and she said, what is the difference between fructose, lactose, and glucose. Very simple. Fructose, all right, and we're going to deal with this from a positive and a negative standpoint. Fructose is commonly used as a name for any type of sugar, quote unquote, that comes from fruit, literally. Now, the fructose that you normally see right now, if you look at a lot of the, and I'm going to use this term loosely because, as I said, in order to be considered food, it has to be something that is beneficial to the body. If it's not beneficial to the body and indeed destructive to the body, it gets the label consumable because it can be consumed. However, real fructose is the pure sugar, using that terminology, and that's in quotes, that comes from fruit, unadulterated fruit. However, what you normally see as fructose in most of these substances when you see it, this fructose comes from what they call high fructose corn syrup the majority of the time. Now, the way that the law is set up, they're not supposed to label it just fructose, simply fructose, unless it comes specifically from fruit. Okay. What do they call these little things? The fruit strips, I think they were called, where they were dried, or, you know, raisins or anything of that nature. That gives you fructose in its natural form. Now, lactose comes from milk. It's milk sugar. So now, lactose normally would be just fine, okay, for us. Now, for us as a people, lactose, a lot of us are what they call lactose intolerant, because our system is not designed after so long to absorb that type of sugar that often. That's lactose. Lactose is, in essence, milk sugar. Now, glucose is what our body uses for its energy. Glucose is what our body puts into the bloodstream. It's when we take in the food, whatever that may be, and our body digests it and then converts it into a form, glucose, that the body can use for energy. And that's pretty much a simple definition of those three substances. But like I said, what we want to look at is that we know that this society has gone in and they've studied everything, and so they have come up with synthetic forms of these things. Now, the lactose that you would get, for example, from raw milk is entirely different from that which has been processed, or what you get from what they call homogenized milk. Okay. So, again, fructose is from fruit, lactose is from milk, and glucose is what our body turns anything that we absorb into us in. That's the natural sugar that our body produces that it uses for fuel. I pray to Allah that my answer was concise enough. If not, you can contact me via Conscious Black Nation, or contact me, go to the website, Amin Holistic Health, AminWholisticHealth, @yahoo.com, or at .com, pardon me, not at yahoo.com, but .com. Go to the website and contact me there, and we can continue the conversation. Thank you so much. Okay, Queen Aziza, any more questions?
No, sir. Everybody's just kind of hanging out listening.
Oh, all praise is due to Allah. Well, now I've got some hands up out here in the audience, so I'm going to go to the first one that I see. Area code 513, your mic is live.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. How is everybody tonight? This is Sister Barbara.
Fine, all due to Allah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I'm always enjoying the programs.
Well, it's wonderful to hear your voice.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And likewise, I feel the same way about you all as well. I wanted to say about the sugar diabetes. I remember.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you all hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
I remember years ago, now I don't know if our people do this, eat Argo cornstarch and laundry starch. And
I remember
K-Ro syrup to go in the milk in the pet in the canned milk. They were feeding us, giving babies a quarter cup of K-Ro syrup to sweeten the milk in the can. You remember
mm-hmm.
that?
Evil brand and pet milk.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, this has been going on for years. So they had been, you know, starting this diabetes with us from the beginning, from birth.
Mm.
And,
another
thing is about the, what's that, that MSG that they, you know, that they have in most of the snacks, people's blood pressure as well.
Mm-hmm. Monosodium glutamate.
Exactly. And these are things, I mean, these are some of them. You know, like you're saying, is it Brother Kareem I'm speaking with?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Like you were saying about all these sugars and sweeteners, the potatoes, and, you know, Sister Aziza mentioned about the potatoes, and I think the other sister, I can't remember her name. Is she still in
there? Udatoma.
Is what?
Udatoma.
Mm-hmm. Oh, are you saying your name?
Yes,
that's her name, Udatoma. We can call her Sister Jamie. Sister Jamie.
Brother, you make me laugh. But your name is Sister Jamie, right? Sister Jamie? Hello?
Is she still here?
Yes.
Okay. Let me put my phone down. Okay, can you hear me
better? I'm sorry. I'm here. I'm just trying to get some clarification. So I'm pulling out the books. But I'm here. Sorry.
Okay.
I apologize because I do want to clarify on that fructose, glucose, and lactose. But I am here.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay. And you see, because I couldn't hear that, what you say, Sister Jamie?
Sister Jamie is my name. My Facebook name is Diatoma Clarity. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, I can remember Sister Jamie better. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And also, I wanted to ask you, Sister Aziza, you were saying something about high blood pressure because of, did you say a nasal condition?
Well, no, I had a respiratory condition that was created when I think, and not that I remember, but I was told that probably around the age of 2, I fell on a nail, and
mm-hmm.
I had a puncture to my chest. But, you know, back then, I guess x-rays and things of that nature was not as pronounced as they are today. And so it was discovered at the age of 6 that there was actually a puncture to my heart. And what happened with that artery, it wasn't, the puncture wasn't big enough to kill me, but that artery never grew. So my artery, my upper right artery stopped growing because of that puncture, because of the lack of oxygen, and because of that minute bleed into my chest cavity. It stopped growing, and it hasn't grown since. So it's about the size that it would be if I was still 3 or 4 years old. And that over the years without corrective surgery, because I'm not, I refuse to let anybody crack my chest because I'm banged like that. And over the years, it has caused a respiratory problem. And so with that happening, I was taking steroids under the direction of my physician to help with my breathing. And then I remember what my father said. It took me 3 years to remember it, but I remember what he said. He said, the opposite of sense is nonsense. Now, I started this medication at 160 pounds or so. And 3 years later, I'm 420 pounds, and you mean to tell me that this is helping my breathing? I'm packing all this extra weight, but this pill is helping my breathing. You're killing me. And so my doctor said that if you discontinue this medication, you're going to have problems breathing, you're going to go into respiratory distress, and you're going to have a heart attack, and you could die. And I said, well, hell, you're killing me already. I left, look, if I'm going, let me go on my own accord, not you laying me down. And so I really just turned to the herbs. I started using what my father used to give me when I would get into respiratory distress as a child from, like, overexerting myself. He used red onion and two full cloves of garlic, and he would boil the garlic and the onion together, and then my father would take the water off of that onion and garlic, and that would be the base of the tea. And then he would put just a regular tea bag in there, and then he would put ginger, honey, and lemon. So we had all, you know, that was like our cough syrup, our sinus medication. Whatever was wrong with us, that's what it was. That's all we had. We never had, Tylenol, Robitussin, any of that stuff. And so right now, today, that is what I use, and I've never had to go back on the steroid, and I lost more than 200 of those pounds.
It took me four years to do it, but I did it.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. All praises due to Allah.
All praises due to Allah.
Because, you know, and it just reminds me of myself, you know, when I had went to the doctor because I was feeling kind of dizzy once. This was a few years back, and I had gotten up to 240 pounds, and I'm like, and so the doctor was saying, you have to take these blood pressure pills. And I said, no, I know I have to start eating right. So, you know, I was told, well, take, you try some anyway. So I tried them, and they seemed like they started to help my head just to fluttering, and I was like, oh, God, you can get me back. And, you know, all this stuff like this, you know, I will eat right. But see, I was eating all kind of snack foods, you know.
And so when
I got my weight down, my blood pressure went down.
Absolutely.
That's what we need to really focus on, because once, you know, we start eating right, and then, you know, you see people coming around with potato chips and all kinds of snacks, you know, sweets and all of that, you know, if we don't be strong enough, then we'll fall right back in the same trap again.
Yes, ma'am. And you know the biggest contributor to high blood pressure is caffeine.
Oh.
Because we get caffeine in everything. Candy, food, coffee, tea, soda, mostly anything you drink outside of water contains caffeine. And caffeine is a stimulant.
Mm-hmm.
And caffeine will run your blood pressure up the pole.
Well, I tell you, mine must be up the pole again because I drink two cups a day.
Well, sister, you can help it. I love coffee, but, and decaffeinated coffee is not really decaffeinated coffee. But what you can do is instead of using what they say is a teaspoon of coffee,
mm-hmm.
use a half a teaspoon of coffee and flavor it with raw honey. I mean, you know, that caffeine over a long period of time, sis, is really not good. It causes your heart to flutter. As we get older and our arteries and things begin to weaken, just naturally, that pull from that stimulant taking your heart rate up, down, will kill you, because that's what it does. That's why they call it a crash and burn. When you have the coffee and you're all hyped up and then all of a sudden you're tired again because that stimulant wears off. But what it is that your adrenaline is rushing, your blood is rushing, and then all of a sudden there's a crash. Well, your system is not designed to function in that sense. You know, adrenaline is to give you a burst of energy when needed, you know, like when you're frightened or when you have to fight for your life or something like that, you need that rush of energy. But just sitting behind a desk or walking around the house or going down the street around the corner or to get out of bed, you don't need that kind of rush. And so it's fluctuating the flow of your facial fluids that carry the blood through your body. It's just deregulating that flow, and over a period of time, you start having, arrhythmia. That's what I was trying to say. You start having arrhythmia, and your heart starts skipping a beat and things like that. And then you can't just stop drinking coffee, because coffee is a drug. And believe it or not, quitting coffee cold turkey is just as bad as quitting heroin cold turkey. Anybody know anything about substance abuse? You know, alcohol and heroin are the two drugs that are most dangerous to go cold turkey on, because your system has learned to function with that. And to do caffeine can make you very sick depending on your level of consumption. And that's why I say if you decrease the amount of coffee that you actually put in your coffee cup, like if you're doing a teaspoon a morning, then take it to half a teaspoon. If you're doing sugar and cream, take that out. Use the natural honey. If you like cream, get you some raw milk and put it in there or something like that for flavor or whatever you have to do. But coffee is a dangerous, dangerous drug. I love it, but I had to stop, and I have to drink decaffeinated tea because it was just giving my heart a dance. It's not good for you.
It's really something, you know. I noticed, too, now that you mention it, Sister Aziza, how the Chinese and Japanese drink that cup. They have those little bitty cups when they drink their teas and coffees. I noticed that.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, because they're not going to kill themselves. They're just going to kill us.
That is really tough, because we take a whole coffee pot, you know, and fill up one of those big, tall cups. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All praises to Allah. Yes, ma'am. And thank you for calling in, and I'm still waiting on you to be on the panel, so I know you're going to let me know when. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am, and I sure will. And thank you all, and I'm going to hang up and continue to listen to the program because it's very nice.
Thank you, sis. Thank you for the love.
Mm-hmm. Assalamu alaikum.
And I'm sorry, Brother Kareem. I just went on and on. I'm sorry.
Oh. All praises to Allah. I mean, you dealt with the caffeine, so I'm, you know, but I'm gonna let's see what this other. Okay, now I don't know what your area code is or anything. I guess you called in on Skype. Your mic is live. You had a question or a comment? Okay, I guess they don't, so I'm going to mute that mic. And I want to go to you, Sister Diatoma.
Yes, sir. Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. You had said you wanted to give us some more clarity about the fructose, lactose, and the glucose.
That is correct. Yes, sir. The glucose sugar, and I was looking for my medical dictionary just to get further clarification, but I wanted to make sure the glucose sugar is actually the natural sugar, is what's produced naturally. It is correct that our body is the main sugar that our body breaks down and uses for energy, but the fructose sugar is not from fruits. It is from, that's the genetically modified, I guess you would want to say, sugar
okay.
That's out there,
go
like the corn.
Go right ahead. Keep going.
Yes, yes, sir. That's like the corn syrup. The you know, the corn. You know, when you see the fruit drinks and things of that nature. Now they do put in fruit drinks so that, you know, it gives the flavoring. It's more so the flavoring. So that's that levatory, the word they use exactly on the dictionary was levatory. And basically what dextran, a whole bunch of big words that just mean we took it into the laboratory, turned it counterclockwise to revert the process of what it's supposed to do as a natural sugar. We reverted the process of it, and then we're putting it into your sugar, put it into your drinks to make it seem like it's a sweetener, but really it's killing you. So yes, sir, that's what the fructose sugar is. And the lactose and the glucose, you did good, correct, but the fructose, just wanted to clarify, it is not the natural sugar. It's the one that's processed in the laboratory. And also, another thing, calamus root, C-A-L-A-M-U-S, root, calamus root. Root is a natural root that is used for type 2 diabetes. Once grounded down into a very fine powder, you can make a tea out of it, and it helps to reduce the sugar. Well, basically bring homeostasis, because it actually helps to, you know, to bring it up and to reduce it in your bloodstream if you are sick with type 2 diabetes. So I wanted to put that out there as well.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah.
But what was the question you had for me?
Well, no. I'm just saying.
Oh.
I mean, and what you were saying. But if I'm just saying, I wanted to clarify myself. If you remember, when I said I talked about fructose, I mentioned the fact that what they produce, high fructose sugar. It is indeed from, it's from corn. That's where they get it from.
Sir.
High fructose,
yes,
corn sugar. And that is from, and
yes,
all
sir.
The corn is genetically modified. But
originally
fructose, the term fructose was applied to fruit sugar, sugar that came, in other words, when you eat an apple, when you eat a banana, when you eat a strawberry, that sweetness that you taste is called, or was originally called, fructose. Because it came from fruit, and the O and the P meaning sugar. But no, today, that's what I say, when you see fruit.
Okay, yes, sir.
That's right. It is, they're talking about, yes, high fructose corn syrup, because this is something that they produced and added. Absolutely. I mean, it's just that we have to always, and I appreciate what you're doing, because we have to know all of this. We need to know it all. There's nothing that we should be unaware of. Because of where we live.
Yes, sir.
So, yes, ma'am, thank you. Now, question-wise,
yes,
what
sir.
I was going to ask you about know, anything that you can offer us on high blood pressure. I mean, any experience you had with it, or anybody in your family, or, you know, just, you know, like I said, we just want to get a cross-section, that's all.
Yes, sir. Well, by the grace and will of Allah, me, myself, I've never had that experience, and I thank Allah for that, because I am a habitual garlic eater and a habitual ginger eater, and I try to use more raw sugar, natural cane sugar, and natural honey, direct honey. And a lot of people don't know the chewing of the beeswax. You can chew beeswax like a gum, and it also helps as well, too, for stress and things of that nature. And bee pollen is another good one for stress and anxiety. And catnip tea is another good one for stress and anxiety. Now, of course, in the black neighborhood, in the black community, we suffer from high blood pressure a lot. But as the minister states in the restrictive law book, he talks about stress. He said the doctor tell you that you got stress, but he said he doesn't tell you where this particular stress comes from. He said, and what is stress? Stress is a form of pressure. He said, now what is weighing down on us? What is weighing down on us mentally to cause this particular stress and or pressure? When you say you have pressure, that means something is weighing on you. That means mentally something is going on with our mind to make us have this pressure and or stress. That means something is out of the norm pulling and pushing on our bodies to make us go out of whack. And so when we say we stress, we have to look at our community. We have to look at our surroundings. We have to look at what we're dealing with. We have to look at the people we're dealing with. We have to look at the foods that we intake, because we know that food can either give us life or it can give us death. And if we are intake of the improper foods, things that our body cannot naturally break down, then we're putting, that means we're putting extra pulling, extra pushing on our body, along with the external factors that we deal with on a daily basis. Where my baby daddy, where my baby mama, where my check, what it is, da, 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 can't find a job, can't do this, can't do that. So we got to, you know, study guide number 4, the struggle for balance, teaches us that we have to weigh the things in our life. We have to understand what we're dealing with and how to break down and assess the things that we're dealing with in life. So we need to start, you know, just as the book tells us, the messenger gave us everything we need. We just got to apply what it is that he gave us, you know, how to eat to live, supreme wisdom. It talk, goes into, you know, the black woman, and my auntie went other than herself, and it goes into the how her heart beat at a certain rate per hour, certain rate per second, even though there's deeper info in there. But it basically is telling us that we don't take time to study what's going on with us, study what's going on in our environment. As soon as my body gets to acting funny or I get the gain in a little here and there, immediately I already know I'm stressed. And then they say, well, okay, well, you say you stress, but what are you stressed? Well, I got a lot going on in my head. You know what I'm saying? It's easier to say we stress than to just go ahead and just look at the problem, try to assess the problem and figure out the problem. It's easier to just put, you know, a Band-Aid on it. Oh, I'm stressed, you know. But it's not. It's harder to say, okay, well, let me deal with each problem individually, taking care of what's in front of me and then handling that. My mom, from being stressed out, first it was hyperthyroidism, and then it became hypothyroidism. And then when it became hypothyroidism, that's when you start seeing the bubbled eyes. She has the glaucoma really, really bad. So she has hypertension, she has the stress, she has the glaucoma, she has the hypothyroidism. She has cancer of the spine. She has a lot going on with her body. And this is all from years and years building up of pressure, things going on, not being able to handle them with the proper way of handling them. My mom has smoked since I've been a baby, since I've known her. My mom smoked all her life. So she handled it with what she knew best, which was a fiat drug is what I call it, which was a cigarette, which actually harms more than it, you know, helps. It hinders more than it helps. So, you know, we tend, as black people, tend to take an approach to cover our pains, whether it's cigarettes, whether it's marijuana, whether it's liquor, whether it's some type of drug, whether it's whatever, even sex, because sex relief is endorphins. A lot of people don't know that, but the reality of it is sex is a way of getting high. So it also releases endorphins. So, you know, so we try to get quick fixes. Even though they might last 5-10 minutes, that's our quick fix. And so we need to start learning how to assess what's really going on, fix it properly with the proper intake. Number one, prayer, fasting, studying, cleansing, detoxing, meditating, Pilates, yoga, many things that can help us. See, a lot of these things we're not taught to do. You know, even talking, therapy, you know, getting out there, understanding what's going on so that we can be able to, you know, properly deal with our problems, because putting Band-Aids on them only causes those problems to interact with our body. The first thing is the head. Everything, the messenger said that we are fed from the brain. And if our brains are fed improperly, then our body reflects that improperness. So we got to start ingesting the correct foods in our brain, and then from there, our body would ingest the correct foods, because when you start getting your brain in order, then naturally you want to get your body in order, you want to get your mind in order, you want to get your health in order, you want to get the things that you intake and ingest in order. So I'll put a pin in it. As my sister say, praises be to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. All praises be to Allah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
And Sister Yetira.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. All praises be to Allah. I'm glad you're still with us and being patient with us, us long-winded people.
All praises to Allah. It's
yes,
a wealth of information that I can't give out, so I don't have any problem sitting back and listening.
Yes, ma'am. All praises be to Allah. Now, we were just talking about high blood pressure, quote-unquote. But now, Sister Diatoma mentioned, you know, she talked about it, which is, I mean, now there's going to be stress, okay, because we are told in both Bible and Quran, more so in these words in the Quran, that struggle is ordained. So when you have struggle, there's going to be stress on us. But the thing that we're dealing with is that undue stress. And that being the case, again, and I come to you because, yes, you are our future. You and our young brother, besides, you're all our future. And the thing is what are some of the things that cause you stress?
Ooh, what causes me stress?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, now stress doesn't come so easy since I found the nation. I'm going to say that first. But being that I'm still striving and I have my shortcomings, I still do get stressed, and it's over the things that I can't control. For example, it could be financial situations, not knowing what, you know, before I'm with a job now stably, but you know, in between jobs, not knowing how my rent's going to get paid, how I don't know what, you know, what's going to come in so I can get X, Y, and Z paid off, or I don't want to fall too far behind. And, you know, if any kind of situation where I don't know, or I can't just, I feel like I'm just powerless and I can't just control, and I don't really know, when I'm in all situations, when I'm forced to put my faith in Allah is where
most of my stressful situations came from, because it was still a process for me, you know, truly having that faith and really being able to say, Allah got me, I don't have to stress, you know, really understanding that concept. I really had to go through different things to really, you know, give it to Allah and not put that stress on me, because when I, you know, when I wasn't able to fully just let it go, I really stressed day in, day out, and it wore on me. Sleeping habits wasn't good. Eating wasn't right. You know, I could feel it in my body. Things just weren't right, you know, because I wasn't able to see the future and I wasn't able to see where, you know, that next paycheck was coming, I was stressing myself out. What other things could it be? I think financials is the main thing for me, but, you know, just in stressing about, you know, eating right. I mean, that's a big thing because I love food. Oh, my goodness, I love food. I love to eat, and but I want to eat right. You know, knowing these teachings, it's not just about knowing it. It's about application. So, you know, I can stress myself out a little about, you know, I'm not eating right. I'm not fasting when I'm supposed to be fasting. I'm not fasting as much as I should be fasting. And just stressing about thinking that I have to be perfect just because I know what's right. And, you know, I'm hard on myself. So, you know, I stress myself out trying to think that I have to be a perfect, you know, I have to be a perfect Muslim. And I'm striving, and I know I have to strive, but, you know, I know I don't have to be so hard on myself sometimes, but I tend to do that.
Yes, ma'am. All praise due to Allah.
Okay, well, question.
Oh, no, yes, ma'am. It was totally from your experiences where we're going, where we're coming from. Now, what I want to do is since we did talk about high blood pressure, and I see that our brother Eugenio is with us, all praise due to Allah. He hasn't raised his hand, so I'm not going to put him on the spot. Yes, he does raise
Yay.
His hand.
Yay, but he has a story. He has a story to tell too. So, brother Eugenio, I'm just going to encourage you, as your auntie, that you need to press one on your dial pad and share some of your dietary experiences with us. That's all I'm going to say.
All praise is due to Allah. We hope so. Now, we talked about high blood pressure, and I want to again thank everybody for what they shared. I want to share this very briefly because our time is starting to run short. Some of the herbs that you can use to help you with what they call hypertension or high blood pressure are this: basil or basil. Again, something you can cook with. You just put it in your food and cook with it on a regular basis. Cinnamon, also cardamom, hawthorn, celery seed, all these things. Not celery salt, celery seed. All these things you
hawthorn. Did you say
hawthorn? Yes, hawthorn. Yes, hawthorn. Hawthorn, not the berries, but the leaves and the root. Exactly. Hawthorn can be used to help to reduce high blood pressure. Some of the foods that have already been mentioned, you got garlic, also cayenne pepper in your diet, bananas and strawberries, and these are just a few of those that can help to reduce high blood pressure. All right, I see the brother Eugenio has his hand up, so we're going to, without further ado, we're going to bring him on the line. Assalamu alaikum, brother Eugenio.
Assalamu alaikum to everybody.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum. Oh, yeah, it's always beautiful to hear from. Look, I'm doing great. Y'all saw me. I had a call earlier with another brother, and I looked at the clock and I said, "Man, I may have about half an hour left with that program. Let me get back and see what they're talking about." You know, I get in. I try to get in whenever I can, and as soon as I got, Brother Kareem saw me with the light on, and he heard me. I said, "Boy, I tell you, my people, God just wants me to be around my people so badly. I have no choice but to honor him. I have no choice but to honor God's wish and my auntie's wish." So here I am.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it sounds like you're talking about health.
Yeah, well,
yes,
I was telling him that you had a story to share about Gaia because I know recently you just lost a tremendous amount of weight. So I just wanted to see if you wanted to share.
Yeah, I can. I should be well versed in it since it was something I was already talking about an hour ago. So the what it is that I used to weigh over 350 pounds. I should, it's really over 480 pounds. I don't know why I said 380. But, yeah, it's really 480 pounds. Miserable, really looked, I was very sluggish and in bad health. Suffered from high blood pressure. And I remember having a chance to read certain chapters of How to Eat to Live from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I wanted to change my diet, and so I did start fasting throughout the week. At first it was twice a week, which was very tough for somebody like myself from New Orleans and due to all that seafood and that southern fried cooking. So I started out with twice a week fasting, and then I started exercising. And as I gradually started to see the weight go away, then that encouraged me to continue to work out 3 to 4 times a week, and then continuing eating the right foods. And after a certain point, I noticed I got to 300 pounds. This is something that you just can't do in a couple weeks. This takes years to do. It takes years because I can say now that I currently weigh 220 pounds, and I can actually wear a large shirt. And I can't remember the last time I used to be in a large shirt. I was used to 4XL shirts, and I have clothes right now that are barely fit. But the type of foods that I do eat is a lot of vegetables, soups, navy bean soups. If it's a sweet tooth, I like to have peanut butter, the navy, of course, the supreme pie. I know how to make that, so I make that as well. But I stress to people a lot that if it's possible, if I'm able to do it and many other people in the nation are able to do it, one meal a day, try to eliminate those types of foods from heavily marketed companies. Try to resist eating foods from delis at these local grocery stores. Just make the foods that you enjoy, and when you're able to do that, you find that you don't have those cravings for those foods that you normally would. And if you do find alternate healthier options of making those foods, and I think many people can be successful. So you change the diet by eating the healthier foods. You exercise weekly. You also fast. And the only things that I drink really is water, coffee, tea. And I don't even drink orange juice. I eat oranges.
That's right.
So those are really, yeah, I eat oranges. Today I had an orange. I'm on the MARTA train, and someone actually asked me, they said, why do you have an orange? Why are you carrying around an orange? I said, sister, this is my medicine to keep my immune system up, even though I was reminded that pineapple has higher vitamin C than an orange, but it's something to carry around. But that's my story. I made it as short as I could.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Brother Eugenio. We appreciate it. You know what I mean? It's always a pleasure.
I definitely appreciate what y'all are doing with this program. I don't know where my evenings would be if I didn't have Sister Ziva and her programs with Brother Kareem and Stuart Minister James and Brother Jihad. as well as DJ Visa and brother the young brothers and sisters on Saturday, brother Harris, I see. So it's a great program. It's I call it round the clock. You can listen to them and whenever you have to.
Thank you, dear brother.
You're very welcome. Have a safe evening.
Yes, sir. Thank you. All praises due to Allah. Well, Brother Eugenio just covered our third obesity very well. And it describes obesity as a condition characterized by the excessive accumulation and storage of fat in the body, coming from the Latin adire, which literally means to eat. So, all praise due to Allah. So we are down into the last 14 minutes. There's two things I definitely want to cover. I had another, and that was the third affliction is obesity. The fourth is addiction. Hopefully we will get to it. However, in this time that we have, what I do want to share is this, is the fact that from hopefully all the things that we've been sharing so far, we can see that all the conditions that we are suffering from, and there are many others, we just don't have the time to cover that this evening, but all the conditions we are suffering from are, number one, being produced first by the society in which we live, and they are avoidable if we follow the instructions that have been given to us that will literally save our lives. Now, I shared about the high blood pressure and the herbs and the foods that will go with that. Also, I want to share now with you from Message to the Black Man, just briefly, because it did say we were going to talk about how this ties in with the three-year economic program, and I don't necessarily have the information on the website that people can go to for the three-year economic program. So, Queen Azizi, if you have it anywhere, because I just didn't get a chance to write it down, I want to share that before we go off the air. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad states in economic program to help fight against poverty and want. It's on page 193. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states this. He says, let the entire nation sacrifice for 3 years, confine ourselves to buy not more than 3 suits of clothes a year, never exceeding, now remember this was written back in the 60s, never exceeding $65 in cost, buy the minimum amount of shoes, never paying over $16 a pair. Boy, I was little back then. As long as current prices for the above-mentioned merchandise remain the same. Of course, inflation can run prices up until money has no value. We should cut down on waste in high-priced food, eat pure and wholesome food without being extravagant. Let us cut our extravagances. As soon as we have enough money in our banks to purchase lands sufficient to feed the 22 million black people, we will build storage warehouses to store our supplies of the necessities of life for our people. And as you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he is, as he reintroduced the three-year economic program, and from my understanding of it, from what I've seen since I've been around, this is the third time he's reintroduced it. Now he's pushing forward with it because, as usual, instead of us hearing and obeying, he has to go into action first. That's a shame at this late date that we don't hear and obey. That's just my comment on that. I also want to share with you from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad this, because our brother Eugenio mentioned again the bean soup. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states in How to Eat to Live, book number 2, page 71. Simple navy beans is one of the best foods that we can eat. You do not have to strain the beans to eat them. Straining the beans is a real habit that we took up years ago, but they are better if you eat them in their whole skin. Do not put a lot of spices or what you call seasoning in such good food. Do not do this. you ruin your food. The value of the bean is taken away by your putting so much seasoning in them. Just put the beans on and cook them until they are done. Let the beans stay in its jacket. Of course, I see them crush the beans, and since the cooks and eaters like it like that, I go along with them, but I like it better when you just cook them right in the jacket. I feel like I could eat a bowl full of beans right now while I'm talking about it. You can eat that bean 7 days a week. It is very appealing to the appetite. All praise is due to Allah. And now, talking about that navy bean in the last 9 minutes, I want to give anyone who has, why do y'all eat those beans? What's with those beans? We were told and taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that Master Farad Muhammad said to us that of all the foods and things that we could eat was that navy bean, and it was best for us. Along, yes, he said, with whole wheat bread, he said, and milk. He also mentioned butter. Now, again, he was not talking about this processed stuff that we call milk today, but he's talking about raw milk. Just as he says in How to Eat to Live that we have to have pure water. Well, what he calls pure water, he says it's pure water. They today call that alkaline water. Okay. That's all it is pure water. They call it alkaline so that they can charge you for it. That navy bean, you want to know how important it is? Let's check it. I did some research on it today on a website entitled The World's Healthiest Foods. And the navy bean, of all the foods on the site, they said is the healthiest food you can eat. Think of that. Navy bean contains, and these are the daily values that they say you need of these things to be healthy. The navy bean, and we're talking about a serving of navy beans, they say contains this: fiber, 77% of the daily values that you need to live. Folate or folic acid, 64% of what we need to survive per day. Tryptophan, 57%. Manganese, 48%. Protein, 30%. B1, a vitamin, 29%. Phosphorus, 26%. Magnesium, 24%. And iron, 24% of the daily recommended values, quote unquote, that the FDA has said that you need to have a healthy life. Now, the fiber. What is the value of the fiber? The value of the fiber is that it helps to lower weight, helps to decrease the risk of diabetes and high blood pressure. The folate helps to build red blood cells, helps to remove aspects of depression. The folate or the folic acid also helps to give you, look at this, a better attitude. Tryptophan helps to decrease your appetite, helps with good sleeping habits, also helps to elevate your mood. Manganese helps to reduce risk of diabetes. It's there to build strong bones. Nerve helps with your nerve health, give you good, healthy nerves so that you can feel correctly, so that you know what's going on with your body. The protein is also needed to help build the cells of the body. They call it B1, it's also called thiamine. It also helps, by the way, folate is, from what I understand, an amino acid. They also say that navy beans, again, they called it the healthiest food because it is the most easily digestible, and when you consume it, you digest 100% of the navy bean. There is no waste from the navy bean. Now, this is not us saying it. This is the society itself. These are the doctors. These are the people, the FDA. They're telling us this now. And the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave it to us I don't know how many years ago. So that having been said, what I want to do now in this last 4 minutes is go around quickly and ask the panel, anyone on the panel, anyone that's there, if they have anything that they want to add before we get ready to close out.
This is Eve here, really quick. You're going over the numbers, the percentages,
yes,
and for anyone who doesn't know, like I don't know which one it was, but 26%, for example, it sounds like a low number. But if you know about the nutrition labels, what's considered high is anything above 20%. So everything that Brother Kareem mentioned was 20% or better. So everything that he just mentioned that had, you know, the percentage of, you know, magnesium and all those different things, it was all high. So even though it wasn't 70% or greater, again, what's considered high is what is 20% or better. Bean soup is great. I love bean soup. I can eat bean soup every day. And that's just my little tidbit.
All praise due to Allah. Thank you, Sister
Matera. And my phone is about to die, Brother Kareem, so you're going to have to give the lineup for the week. But
yes,
I just want to say that I know one thing, the bean soup will give you more energy than any cup of coffee you can drink.
That's right. Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Well, yes, we are down to the last 3 minutes of the show. And so that being the case, that's my cue. All right. Tomorrow, 8 p.m., with Brother Jihad Muhammad out on the front line with the fruit of Islam. That's Tuesday, 8 p.m. Wednesday, hip-hop comedy show with DJ Black Caesar at 8 p.m. On Thursday, please join us for Queen Aziza Miriam Muhammad and Nation Building Presents. I don't know what the topic is. Are you still with us?
Yes, the topic will be believing men for believing women.
Oh, praise is due to Allah. I know I'm going to be here for that. I need to know what that's about. On Friday, our live study group put on the new man with Student Minister James Muhammad, 8 p.m. Please be here. Join us so that you can learn more in depth the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. On Saturday at 8 p.m., Young, Gifted, and Black with our wonderful, wonderful young host, Sister Yatira, that you heard tonight. Look, she's a fireball, okay? Don't get it twisted. Don't think she's not. And then on Sunday, we had our Brother Vernon Muhammad with No Romance Without Finance. Please join us, and that's at 6:30, I believe it is, Queen Aziza. Okay.
Yes,
it begins
sir.
At 6:30
p.m. Central. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Okay, I got through that one. And then, of course, we will be right back here next Monday at 8 p.m. with Conscious Black Nation. As far as the topic, the topic is how to give birth to a God, and we'll get into that on Monday. I want to thank everyone in the listening audience. I want to thank everyone on the panel for joining us for Conscious Black Nation. We have to understand that all the information that we have, we must share with one another because we need it to continue on to survive through these times and even to thrive in these times. As I always say, remember, the thought is the act. The act is the fact. We either participate or we all dissipate. I want to leave you as we came with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Wa alaykum salam. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Good night.